Isn't it great to start a new year? It's great to see a few more people here than it's been for the last few Sundays. I get up here in the front row and put my back. I don't want to see. I don't want to know what's behind me. I just trust the Lord. Bring them in, Lord. But what are your plans for 2014? What do you want to accomplish this year? Now, we all are probably starting off in our churches with messages of Happy New Year. You know, it's a new year, a new time, a fresh slate, a slate that's not been written on. Well, it has been written on, but it's only been by God, because God has already predestined. He's got things for you to accomplish on your itinerary for 2014 if you're obedient enough and willing enough to what? Listen to Him and follow Him. Because He's already got your life planned out from your mother's womb on to when it's time to call you home. So we're not going to surprise, and God's not going to be surprised for sure, of what you accomplished this year. He already knows, it's sad to say, that you might fail in some areas because of your lack of strength, because of your lack of willingness to turn to Him, because of your bullheadedness, your headstrong, that I am my own person and I can do it myself. You know, we've been there the last 20 or 30 years maybe, the last 50 years, depends on your age. But we've done that, and we've usually succeeded to that level of whatever our weakness is or what the strength is that we can have. And we know that man's strength begins to waver when the going gets tough, the tough get going. And this life that we live, this life that you live, has probably been a pretty tough life at times. Not all the time, right? You've had some good times, good things in your life, and the number of years that you've been, you know, breathing. But there have been some tough times, I'm sure. We all have gone through those times. So anyway, we look at this and we're saying, well, gee, where are we at? Well, I'm here to give you some encouragement. How about that? Hey! Here's your first one. You got just 360 days left of this year. Is that enough encouragement? Enough? 360 days left already. We've already burned off five. With New Year's, the weather, you know, all these things, we're down to 360 days. Yeah, that only comes to 8,640 hours. What are we going to do? It's burning away fast. So what do you do to hope and be able to say that you've done this year? Because, you know, we look at the beginning of it, 360 days, 365 days anyway. It seems like a lot of time, doesn't it? That's a long time. But it'll go quick because it has gone quick. Look at your age. Look at what age you're at now, you know. Who would have thunk that I would be, you know, 57 years later after I was born? I was planning on staying 25 or 32, you know. But something happens. Time marches on. Your time with what God has in store and planned for you is marching on. You may have failed in the last 2013, 2012, 2011. You may have failed in those areas of accomplishing everything that God had for you. But guess what? That same God is the God of 2014, and it's going to be the same God that's going to help you get through those areas if you sustain just long enough and say, okay, I'm going to disconnect from what I think I can do, and I'm going to allow you to do what you want to do, Lord. But we got to work fast because 360 days are only the things that are left. So let's look at this a little bit. I'm hoping that by asking some of these questions this morning, that it's going to start you thinking, maybe prod you along a little bit, get past the holidays and forget about these, you know, all these things that we're going to do, all these resolutions that we want to make. How many here made a resolution? Good. You won't fail. Okay, you're going to be successful this year at not making a resolution. Because we know normally those resolutions that we make last about a day, a week, a month, 6 months, 10 minutes. It just depends. Some of you already have an idea of what you want to accomplish. Some of you are thinking of, like, what is it that I want to do, or what is it that I want to accomplish this year? I get in that boat sometimes, don't you? It's like, there just seems to be so much lard. What is it that I need to focus on? We know that businesses out there have goals for every year, what they want to accomplish, more sales, you know, less accidents, more profit, more stores, more this, more that. Businesses, corporations, companies that make little Dumaflitches, they want to make more Dumaflitches, you know. It's just there's a goal out there. There's things that they want to accomplish. Well, don't you think that we as followers of Christ ought to have a goal? And we're all going to have a different goal, generally. I mean, we all want to, the one main goal is share the gospel and show the love of Christ to those around us. But individually within us, there's probably individual goals that we need to be with to be closer to God and to allow God more into our life. And a lot of it is just like, are you willing to let God come into you more? Or are you still going to keep him out of most of your stuff, of your life? So as we came in today, I'm sure everybody read the sign as you drove down the road and turned in that we put out there. What's out there on that sign that people can see as they drive by for the next few days? The little saying. Let go. Trust God. 2014. Now, the other day when I was getting ready to put that out there, I didn't have that written on my paper. Because I had written something else out. I'm sitting at my desk, you know, and it's like I want to sit at the altar and come up with a great saying and a phrase and all that type of stuff. No, but you are thinking about it and thinking like, what is it, Lord? You know, and short phrases, things that people read that can go by there. And I had it written down, but then when I went to the back to get the letters out, all of a sudden it just hit me to pull out those letters and go out there and put that out there. And I don't know if that's where we're going this year for our little catchphrase of a church and all that. It may be. I don't know. I'm still thinking and praying about it and looking through some things and just meditating before God. But if it is, it's probably a good saying as well. To let go, trust God. Easier said than done. I know that. And usually the things that God puts on my heart or your heart or we as a church, you know, it takes work. It takes developing and nurturing and working together. Working as a body of Christ to share the gospel with those around them. Working individually with just you and God, you know, allowing the Holy Spirit to work in you and to develop things in you. So let go. Trust God. 2014. If it was 2015, it could be 2015. The important thing is, number one, to let go of these things and then to begin to trust God. What is it that you've got to let go? I think there's people in here today that are still struggling with believing that their sins have been forgiven. You got to let them go. You've been forgiven. The blood of Jesus has washed them from you. Don't hold on to them. Don't keep thinking about them. Don't let that be, you know, something that's weighing you down to continue progressing with the things of God, because the devil will want to do that to you. Let it go. Your sins are forgiven. There'll be some in here that believe that they're a failure. Haven't you heard that? Talk to some of these people. Share, you know, if we had a little coffee time and all that and get together with somebody, maybe, you know, you would just begin to listen to them and they may come out and say, boy, you know, I've really been a failure. I've not accomplished what I really wanted to, or, you know, whatever the case might be. But there's those areas. What about those that believe that God doesn't love them? There's some out there that cannot believe that their sins are forgiven. There's some out here that don't believe that God loves them. There's some out here that feel like they're a failure. There's some out here that they're going to go through 2014 in pain and dealing with the same situations in their health as they did in 2013 or 12 or 11. We are bringing these things into this new year that's a new slate that should be a time and an opportunity for us to say, God, I'm tired of it. God, I'm going to believe your word. God, I'm going to trust your word. And I'm going to be a different person in the 2014. And when we get done, remember, time is ticking away. We've only got 360 more days to work on this. 8,600 and some odd hours left. Seems like a long time in a while. When you look at the hours, 8,000 hours, man. But there are those that have health issues that feel like they're holding on to those things. They just don't feel like God has heard their prayer. What about in 2014? They're still struggling in the area of finances and just believing that that struggling has been lasting for umpteen years. Dealing with debt, dealing with finance, and don't understand what's going on. God has the answer. God has the solution. May not always be easy, and we've got to look at that. It's easy to stand before you and spout off scriptures. But what I've got to try to do, and we as a church have to try to do, is help you develop in those scriptures. Develop in the Word of God. We could just, there's powerful scriptures in His Word that can just pump us up when we hear them. And we hear them on a Sunday morning and we go out of here just ready to be glorified, you know, and just going out there in victory. And then Monday morning, 8:30 hits, 10:15 or whatever the time hits us, and before you know it, we've lost the victory that we had on Sunday because that cutesy little scripture that we said, we don't have everybody around us cheering us on again. Nothing to say that His Word is not powerful. His Word is powerful. But it's how you put it into your life and allow it to work in your life and how you hang on to it in your life. Because there are those that are here today that you would look at them saying, that person, he or she is very strong in the faith. Look at them. They're always doing this and they're always doing that and they seem to be having victory after victory after victory. You don't realize and see them on Tuesday afternoon or Thursday night dealing with a situation. But rather than them dealing with it on their own, they've learned the powerful key of saying, Lord, I'm turning it over to You. Amen. Hallelujah. And I'm not going to take it back. Because I've taken it back 25 times already. And it ain't working. So it's not to say that they're holier than thou, mightier than thou, have more power within themselves. He has given us all that measure of faith. He has given us all that power within us. Amen. So we all start that. It's just like this year. Sunday school, we're talking about times, stewardship, time, talent, and finances. I think it's a very powerful thing that we start the year off with that, and we kind of structured it around where we start January with stewardship of your time, your talent, and your finances, because I believe those are areas that will propel you into 2014 to accomplish and to allow God to bless you and to allow God to bring forth in you the victory that you need for 2014. Amen. Whether it's with your time, your talent, or finance. I'm not going to stand up here and say, give me all your money. And God wants all your money. He owns a thousand cattle on 1,000 hills or 1,000 hills with 1,001 cattle. He owns it all, guys. God does not need your money. But He needs to know where your heart is with those areas of finances, knowing that you trust Him, believe in Him, and have faith in Him that He is your provider. Mr. Government, Mr. Job, Mr. Whoever is not your provider. There's others fighting with relationships, with family, spouses, kids, siblings, extended family. You've been having strife and struggles within the last several years with that, and that's been a weight upon you. Remember, we're looking at one of these things or some of these things that says, let go, trust God. So you've got to let go of just a few of these things that I've mentioned. And you know what? If I were to open up and say, hey, what else could we add on this list? Guess what? You could probably come up with another dozen more things that could be weighing a person down or things that you're familiar with or something that's specific to you that I've not even touched upon. So I'm going to say this, that you're not going to be able to accomplish what you're needing to change or work relying on your own strength. You ain't going to do it. You might as well just get a heads up and say, hey, I can't do it. Because if that's the case, you would not have to bring those things from 2013 into 2014. You would have accomplished it, succeeded, and you would have had it taken care of. So, I hope you're beginning to understand where I want to go with this. And that is this. To gain the victory over that which has taken control of you, you're going to need help from someone that is bigger than you, and for sure that is bigger than the problem that you're experiencing. And I only know one person that's bigger than that. Who's that? God. God. And he's there for that. Give him a try this year, won't you? We talked about habits and things of that nature back in Sunday school, and there's studies out there, and you can look at this, and there's like books out there that say to make a habit it takes 21 days and all this. Different researches out there show that, you know, you can make a habit, and some habits may take you 253 days to make. As an average, they say that it takes 66 days, 9.5 weeks to make a habit. In the study, it says, now, if it's a habit of drinking or eating, you will form those habits a lot quicker. It will not probably take you 21 days to figure out that you got to eat. I want to give you 3 or 4 days, and you're probably going to say, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Thirsty, you're going to pick that habit up pretty quick to get a drink of water. Cool, clear water. Water. So it just depends on what you want to do as making a habit of how long it's going to take you to get to that to become a habit. Now, how many people want to do like 100 push-ups? You know, it's going to take you probably, some of us, more than a couple of years. Let's just be honest, okay? I'll put that on my to-do file for 2018. Give me something to shoot for. So, you know, it's relative to what you want to do as far as how fast you will make a habit of wanting to do it. And the danger of it is that it only takes probably a few weeks to break a good habit. You get into whether it's dieting, exercising, doing whatever, taking walks, whatever the case might be. Habit of shopping. But it doesn't take long to somehow you miss 2 or 3 times, you miss it, and you get out of step, you get out of rotation, you get out of sync with it, and before you know it, it's no longer on your radar screen, so to speak, and it's kind of taken a sidetrack, and it's in the backfield of you now, and, oh yeah, I forgot, I did enjoy taking walks. I did enjoy doing this, or I did enjoy that. And pretty soon that good habit is broken or it's lost. So anyway, remember, I've said you got 8,640 hours until the close of this year. As I reflect on this time frame, I realize that to be able to share the Word of God with you in hopes of encouraging you, helping you, and giving you some direction in your life, to experience God in your life, I, as a church, we only have a short time to accomplish this. Well, you say, but I've got 8,640 hours. But I've got to break this down because we find this out. We only have 52 Sundays to see one another. 360 days left, 52 Sundays. We're burning a Sunday now, so we're down to 51 after this. Well, okay, so we got 360 and there's 51 or 50 Sundays, and then, well, let's throw in a Wednesday because there's 52 Wednesdays in there too, but, well, we got to list and drop one off because last Wednesday we didn't meet because it was New Year's Day. So we got to kill one of them days off, so we're down another day on Wednesday. But anyway, we look at this, and I'm jumping around on my notes here, but I'll try to keep my numbers straight, okay? But we're looking at it like Sunday, 52 or 51 days, Wednesday, 51 or 52, 100 days. Okay, there's 360 days left, so I'm telling myself, well, a third of my time is going to be with church. Wrong. Because we don't come to church for in full days. We don't come at 8 o'clock in the morning and stay here until 10 o'clock at night on Sundays or Wednesdays, do we? So now we got to look at this as a pastor, as a church, as leadership, as those that share in Sunday school or even share on the pulpit on a 10-minute thing from leadership, whatever the case might be, Wednesday Bible study and all these things, we've got to look at it as we break it down to just how many hours do we have in a year's time to try to be an encourager, to try to help you, to try to help you change the outcome of 2014 in your life. And I am not going to be able to change that in you, but I can share the word and share the message and share who can do that in you, that being God. But I'm limited on time. Because heaven help us if we start at 10:30 and we're still here talking at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. A lot of you will get up and walk out. Just the nature of the beast. And after a while, it does say that our comprehension can only, after about the first 20 minutes, which I've already burnt that quota, you guys are in la-la land already. So from, I don't have my glasses on, but it's what, about 11:30 I see back there? So for the next 25 minutes, what I'm saying is just for Tim. Because you guys are thinking about lunch, you're thinking about Monday, thinking about the Packers, boo. You're thinking about the frigid temperature on Monday. You're out there going, I just wonder if they're going to close my work down. I wonder if they've canceled school. I wonder if they canceled this. I wonder if they can't. See, your mind is already, when you come to church on a Sunday, we got 52 Sundays to deal with you with, an hour and a half on one day, 1.5 hours for the whole week, because a lot of you don't come to Wednesday night. Let's just be honest, okay? So we got a shot here of an hour and a half to put something in you that's going to propel you into 2014 and into that and give you strength and encouragement and perseverance. We got to do that all within an hour and a half, and that takes announcements, music, offering, message. We can't do it. But all we can do on a Sunday morning is jumpstart you. That old battery out there that's not going to grind very well tomorrow morning, you're going to put some other source on it that's going to jumpstart it a little bit, because it's going to take a little bit more power to turn and crank the starter. And on a Sunday at a church in our ministry times, about all we can do is just put a jumper cable to you and say, boom, let's just charge you a little bit with the Word of God. Take it home with you. Pray on it. Pray about it. Read your Bible at home. Be in meditation with God throughout the rest of the week, because your church only has 52, well, let's get into this, 52 Sundays, 52 Wednesdays. So potentially to meet as a corporate body, we have 104 days out of 360. That breaks down to hours. I have approximately 169 hours between Sunday morning and Sunday school and Wednesday night. So I've got We got a church, I say I, but leadership, those that teach, those that facilitate, those that are trying to help be a steward of time and talent, hello, that God has put into them, talent, to help me along this course that we're on, we basically have roughly 169 hours remaining this year to help you. I've got 8,640 hours left. I mean, you've only got... Church has only got 169 hours of that. When I had 100 and some odd days because of the 360 days left, I'm thinking, well, the church has a third of my life they can speak into. No, because we don't go to church all day. But we've only got 169 hours. Now, that's only if you come every Sunday. Yeah, we ain't going to go there. I'm looking at the best case scenario of 100% attendance for every Sunday, for every service. And if you come to Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday service, Wednesday Bible study, and we throw a prayer in there for a half hour, you can't go wrong with prayer, guys. I'm not even counting prayer in there, but that's powerful. But we are very limited as a body of an organization, of a church, of a ministry, to facilitate change in your life that you need it, especially in the day and the times that we're living in. Amen? My goodness, how can anything be accomplished in 169 hours for the whole year to change a life? Well, we just came out of 2013, and what the Lord had spoke to me there, little is much when God is in it. So I do believe that 170 hours is powerful with the power of God. Because He will amplify it, multiply it, stretch it, magnify, whatever the case might be, to fulfill what it needs to be in your life or what he needs to do in your life. But you've got to be the one that allows him to connect those cables into you, to jumpstart your life, to jumpstart your year, to give you more power, to give you more energy, whatever the case might be for 2014. So we've got a daunting task up here. But I'm up for it. How about you? Because I realize that it's not me up here, because I just say, Lord, what is it that you want me to share with your people and speak through me? You know, and I try to keep my mind disconnected from it, but I've got to be honest with you. There's a few times that Tim jumps into it. Okay? You know. Yeah. Whether it's a movie theme or a music thing or, you know. Cows and pastures and hills and yeah. Okay, stay away from that, Tim. See, Tim's wanting to jump into that, but I gotta let's give God his time. But God does just show himself to me in so many things. Movies, things, themes, sayings, characters, blah 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 blah, music, whatever. But I'm up for the task, because it is God that is in me that's greater than he that's in this world. And it's my desire, and oh, there's one of those wonderful sayings that we want to give people and say, here, chew on this, go out and be victorious, and we give it to them, and they go out, and Monday hits, and they fall flat on their face, and they go, oh my gosh, what? My church gave me all these verses to say, and it just doesn't seem to be working. It takes practice. Takes being built up. That's why in Hebrews 10:25, where I think it talks about, do not forsake yourself assembling together. There's words in God's Bible, or I should say there's scriptures and there's sayings in God's words that say things that will help us, things that are there for us, things that you need to act upon, things that you need to put first in your life to be able to accomplish all the other stuff that he's got in there for you. Life is not just a nice little cliche saying. Life is hard. Life, this road of life has a lot of bumps. It's got a lot of dips and valleys and curves and things that can affect us. And it affects all of us. And remember, Sunday school, we were talking about time, and it's like that's one thing that across the board in here, everybody in this room has 24 hours every day. It doesn't matter your your social scale, your ethnic background, how much money you got. You could be a millionaire, but you've only got 24 hours in a day. You could be the poorest person around, but you've only got 24 hours a day. But what are you going to do with those hours that are given to you? One of the scriptures that I feel it helps us is in 1 Peter 5:6-7. Talks about in 1 Peter 5:6-7, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all of your cares upon him. Why? Because he cares for you. Isn't it nice to know that there's someone out there that cares for you? It's great when you're married and you have a spouse and, you know, and everything's working well and you got kids and family and all, and you feel there's people out there that are caring for you. But, you know, even a person that is single, even a person that doesn't feel like they've got that, or maybe they got family but they're not by them, they're relocated and they're out there all by themselves, you know. We got a son like that. He's only 2.5 hours away, but it's not like he's not, it's not like he's there all the time now. But that's one thing that we can rest upon, knowing that God is there. Wherever we're at, wherever he's at, wherever you go individually, even here in Janesville, if you don't have anybody else around you, God is there with you. Amen. That's good to know, because he cares for you. Although many people will profess that they trust God with their lives, the evidence of anxiety, distress, worry would suggest a desire to maintain personal control. Whenever we operate under the assumption that we are the ones in charge. How many here at times feel like you're the one in charge? Oh, come on, be honest. Sometimes more than not, twice, okay? So whenever we operate under the assumption that we are the ones in charge of our lives, then the unexpected, the undesired, the unfair, and the undeserved situations that do occur, they become overwhelming in us. Because we think we can fix it. We think we can change it. We think we can do this for that person. No, we know we can't, right? Any of us that have kids and family and, well, kids, you train them up as best as you can, and then I tell you what, when they leave your house and they're out there, they're on their own, guys. Good, bad, or indifferent, they're out there on their own. The one good thing about it is we continue to have prayer. Keep them under that. Amen. Prayer comes in very handy when you got kids. Amen. I imagine sometimes us parents make our kids pray a lot more, too. Oh, great. Here's my dad. Oh, Lord. You know, trying to understand technology. I'm sure I got a son that just probably prays a lot for me for learning technology, you know. Oh, boy. But it becomes overwhelming when we are so used to controlling it ourselves, because we're kind of raised that way. We're kind of brought up in some of our, as we rear our kids, we do try to tell them, now, you are to be self-sufficient. You're to take care of yourself. You're to, you know, find a job. You're to get your house. You're to develop this. You're to, you know, line up all these things that we do as a civilization. So we kind of tell them, you've got to do this. And part of that is correct. They've got to do that. They've got to grow up and go out and develop and you learn by hard knocks. Amen. Even if your parent tries to tell you don't do that, you're going to do it anyway because you got to learn by your own failure. As much as the parent wants to keep that child or whatever to keep from failing, we can tell them, don't do this. We did that and we failed in that. We've learned better, blah, blah, blah. Try to express that to your child or even to a friend or somebody that you're trying to work with. And generally, they won't listen. They will do the opposite, and they will go through that situation. And then they'll say, wow, I should have listened. We've all been there. It doesn't just belong to this generation that we're in. You were like that when you were growing up. I was like that when I was growing up. But even though we experience these things, we also need to begin to realize that we can experience these things with God on our side. And God will allow some of these things to come into our lives to cause some trials, tribulations. Now, with trials and tribulations, it's not saying that I'm allowing stress and anxiety into your life. He says there will be times of trials and tribulations in your lives, right? And we have those things. But we look at it, it's not to bring anxiety and stress upon you. It's just that you got to know you're going to go through these things, because Jesus went through trials and tribulations and all this and was beaten and had pain and all these things. So why do you think you're going to just hop, skip, and jump through this life and, you know, not have a problem? You will. You are. There's a problem coming down your road 3 weeks from now. I don't know. But even though it's coming your way, the Lord has made a way where there seems to be no way to go around it, through it, over it, under it, knock it out of your way, whatever the case might be. But anyway, as we look at this, the Lord doesn't always take us out of the lion's den. We had some people thrown in the lion's den. Well, if the Lord was going to keep them from having pain and suffering and testing some things and seeing how strong they were and how God was so strong, they would have never learned that. The king would have never have understood it had they not looked in there and seen this. So the Lord will sometimes allow us to go into that lion's den or that fiery furnace, but he uses these experiences to help us trust him through these trials. Do you trust God? Once you get that understanding that you can trust God, letting go becomes a whole lot easier. Because here's one of those myths. No. Stay on focus, Tim. Stay on focus. So if there was ever an encouragement to let go and trust God, the Apostle Peter uses this in the text to share insight and instructions about this in 1 Peter 5. We just talked about humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, he cares for you. Okay. Cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you. This word cast means to throw, abandon, or release something by intentionally sending it somewhere else. Cast that care upon the Lord. You've got to intentionally throw that situation to him. You're going to be the Aaron Rodgers of the day. And God is going to be the ultimate receiver. Amen. And you're going to throw whatever that care is, you're going to cast it to him, and God is going to take it from you. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Isn't that great? And he's not going to fumble it. Oh, my goodness, I don't want to get into a football analogy. I don't like that much. But somehow it just develops that way. But God will not fumble it. He will not drop it. He will not pass it off. Amen. He will take that care that you've passed, that you on purpose gave to him, and he's going to run with it. Amen. He's going to run with it because when he takes that care from you, you become a lot lighter in what you're having to deal with. Then you do have the opportunity, the availability to enjoy life. Wouldn't you like to enjoy life? Wouldn't you like to whistle while you work? Okay, God. Well, if nothing else, God, I'm here having fun up here in my head, okay? You don't know what's boiling around in there, but I'm trying to refrain from bringing out. This is a... It's like, I got to hold me back. Hold me back. Cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Cast, throw, abandon, release something by intentionally sending it somewhere else. You've got to intentionally say, I'm taking this care, and I am no longer having it, and I'm passing it to you, God. Don't take it back. The word care is best translated. Does anybody have anxiety in here? Or how about stress, pressure, any of those things? You know, it's okay to admit to it. It's not like you're a sinner because you got anxiety. It's like, oh, I ain't going to say that. Oh, I raise my hand. I'm not going to let anybody know that I'm under stress. I'm a cool cucumber. I'm one of the veggie tails. You know? Well, we deal with stress, anxieties, pressures, don't we? The care is translated anxiety, stress, or pressure, especially as the anxiety, stress, or pressure. And when that happens on you, guess what you develop? Weight. That's what happened to me. Is there anybody else out there that give me an amen to that, brother? Hallelujah. I got a lot of stress and pressure and anxiety here. If it comes to weight you down. So what are you going to do with it? You got to go on a diet. You got to learn how to eat different. You got to learn, just like in a physically eating and food, you got to cut back. You got to learn to control your anxiety and pressures and things that put weight upon you in your mind and your body, because we also know that all that stuff on your system tears you up. Stress, worry, anxiety. We've said it before. There's studies out there. You can look it up, and you already know where I'm going. It'll kill you. Those forces on your human body, this body that was designed by the ultimate body designer, God. Now, I know, look around. You're seeing some bodies going, wow. When did you design that one, God? Wow, when they got to me, I hope he improved a little bit, you know? Look around, the ultimate design body, or God designed this body to know how to function it and how to keep it working properly. You cannot harbor anxiety and worry and stress within this because it'll eat you alive. Ulcers. Your acids in your stomach start acting up, and you get that anxiety and worry, and the acid that's been there to help digest food begins to, because there's no food in it, because when you start worrying, some will start eating, but a lot will stop eating. Your stomach is void of things, and now you got your acid in your body, and it starts to eat away within itself because of the stress and anxiety. Huh. Let go. Trust God. Casting your cares upon the Lord means that you can throw the weight of your burdens onto him, or onto him and his capable ability, or on God's capable shoulders. Otherwise, the weight of it begins to weigh you down. Now, I will never want to say these things and walk in denial. It's not to sit there and say, oh, no, I don't have any problems. Everything's happy. Ooh, you know. It's not that at all. It's not denying the circumstances. This is not a denial of our challenging circumstances, but it is a call to liberation and freedom that allows the believer to trust God in the midst of it all. There's some scriptures in there, and I don't know. Gosh, would you like to go there? Well, let's see. We're almost, we can wrap this up. Luke 4:18 will give you an example of liberty. Well, actually, I've got it marked here. I can try to figure out so we can kind of go through them pretty quick here. Luke 4:18 says this, and this is now when Jesus has been rejected, okay? So he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up in there and he began to read. And all he did was he took out and he quoted what was written here in Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Any brokenhearted here today? To proclaim liberty to the captives. Anybody is captive here today? You got liberty. And to recover the sight to those that are blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, Jesus is repeating what prophet Isaiah had spoken back in Isaiah. But Jesus is saying it written this way. I go into 2 Corinthians 3:17. Paul sharing this. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. That's why we are so desiring as a church, as leadership here, to ask God's presence to come into this place, whether there's 10 people here, 8 people here, 1,000 people here. I don't care what the number is. All I know is I want the presence of God. I want His presence amongst us, because that's what matters. That's what matters. That's what will change a life, is the presence of God in a service. Amen. Or hearing something that I'm sharing, hopefully, and you might be sitting out there dozing off. I don't know, but all of a sudden something hits you and you remember it, and 2 days later the Lord brings it back to you by that of the Spirit. And you find encouragement in it, you find strength in it, you find just a refreshing within it. And it's nothing that I have really said, because it's just the things that the Lord is saying to you today by His Word. Maybe we bring it out and address it a little bit more and stay knocking at it a little bit, you know, to kind of keep, you know, drilling it into you a little bit so that you have an understanding. I don't know. But anyway, we find where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Liberty. And then one more place, Galatians 5:1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. Do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. We have been tangled up with bondage for a long time, haven't we? You might still be tangled up with bondage today. But remember, 2014 could be a new year for you. It could be a year of change and transition from those old ways, because you let go of bondage. Trust God that He's going to take that, because He already has taken it. It's just that you've not released it, to tell you the truth. It's not like He's got to come into your life and redo the whole thing and say, okay, I missed the bondage that you have. Let me get your bondage. No. He's already taken all that stuff already. You've got to realize that, walk in that, accept that, thank Him for that, praise Him for that. Woo! Because of that, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. Do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become uncircumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And it goes on and sharing more of Christian liberty in Galatians here with Paul. But what we've got to know is that through Christ, liberty has come forth. We can turn that all over to Him. Begin using some confessions. These are just some things that you could pull together. Don't say that I can't. Why do you say that? Because of this. In Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now remember, these are little things that we can throw out to you, but these are things in God's Word that I hope will allow you to let go of things and to begin to trust Him. It takes time. Don't talk about lack, because in Philippians 4:19, it says, my God shall supply all of my needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Wow. I got strength. I got my needs being met. Don't speak of fear, but think of His power. 2 Timothy 1:7, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I like a sound mind. How about you? Whew, my mind is... Stop having lack of faith. It says in Romans 12:3, God's dealt each to every man a measure of faith. You got to believe in Daniel 11:32, where it talks about the people that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Exploits. What do you do when you exploit something? You do something. You show something as an example. People see you do something, and it's not by your power, it's by His power, and they go, whoa, hey, Lou, how did you have the power to do that? And Lou's going to say, hey, it ain't by my power, it's by His power. You're going to exploit. The strength of the Lord will be exploited through you, because you're going to say, oh, I've been trying to deal with this for the last 25 years, and 2014 hit, and I went to church, and this thing said, let go, trust God, and I did it, and this year I did that, and now the strength of the Lord is working through me. That's how I could do this. Hallelujah. Psalms 27:1, the Lord is the strength of my life. You do have the power within. You have the power within. Well, how do you know that? 1 John 4:4. Greater is He that is within me than he that is in the world. With all of these things in God's Word, should we not be walking in victory? Shouldn't we? We ought to be. Now, we're here to help, encourage, pray with, exhort, whatever the case might be, to get you along with the rest of us, and we're all trying to go down this path together. Come on, let's hold hands or whatever it takes to get us along this path in 2014 so that we can look back and say, look at the, you'll be saying, I remember my pastor said at the very beginning of the year of 2014, he really busted my bubble when he said there's only 360 days left. I was like, oh man, I better get working. And then I'm only giving the pastor and the Sunday school teacher and maybe those that teach or lead or do things in the church, in the whole year's time, I'm only giving them about 169 hours to really speak things into my life that will encourage me out of the 8,640 hours that I've got available. I'm not giving them a whole lot. But with God, little is much when He's in it. Still got to pull 2013 into this too. Okay, we're almost wrapping up here, guys. What about the healing benefits? We deal with and talk to, and I know and you know, and we all know somebody, and even ourselves at times are going through physical needs. Isaiah 53:5, with His stripes I'm healed. Matthew 8:17, Jesus says, Himself took my infirmities and He bare my sickness. We don't have to repeat these scriptures a lot to God to realize what He said. He already knows what He said. His word will not return void to Him. But what I think we got to do a lot of times is we got to tell the old devil out there, hey, I know even the devil knows the word and all this stuff, but we got to let the devil know that I know the word too. And once I get the devil to understand that, whoa, Tim knows the word too, uh-oh, I become more victorious. Because I'm not using Tim's word, I'm not using my desires, I'm not using what I think it ought to be. I'm using my God's words to deal with situations of today's life that I'm in right now, that a lot of times it's the devil putting these little things in my path that I've got to say, let go and trust God, because I got God's verses or vision or scriptures or words, they're right here. I would hit this, but I don't know what'll happen, I might lose my page. Why worry? Why be frustrated? We just shared 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your cares, those things that weight you down, cast, throw off intentionally. Get those things you've got to, wasn't there a song out there somewhere about shake off those? My wife is shaking, I can see her head going, but I... But there's a line, a song out there that's kind of like, cast off those little things. But you got to shake those things off. Anyway, stop saying, oh, we hear this a lot. Oh, I'm so alone. How in the world can you be alone when there's umpteen million people in the world? But I know individually and things that we go through in our life and the things that we go through, you can be in a room full of people and ask that person, how you doing? And they could still say, I feel alone. Why? You got 25 members of your family here. You got, 150 at a family reunion, and you're saying you're alone? But it's that alone inside. They're empty inside. And when that happens inside, they feel it, and they go, but I'm just lonely. And we sometimes look at it, and it doesn't register with our understanding. Oh, my gosh. But the thing that we can share with, the thing that we realize is this. In Hebrews 13:5, Jesus is saying this, that lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Jesus is there with you. You're not alone. The devil is trying to make you think you're alone. The devil is trying to mess with your thoughts a little bit to make you feel like you're unworthy, to make you think that you're still full of sin, that you're not righteous, that you're not holy, that you're not strong, that you're not going to be victorious. The devil's putting these thoughts that you're going to be a failure. The devil's putting these thoughts that you're not going to succeed. The devil is putting all these negative things into your body and your mind or your life, which does eventually go to your body because you begin to worry, stress, anxiety. So the devil is trying to push all these things into you. But you've got to get to the Word and get to the Word and start taking the vitamins of the Word, amen, And you've got to start reading these things and believing these things and confessing these things. Confession of the mouth, amen. God knows His Word. The devil knows God's Word. But the devil needs to know, do you know God's Word? To where you can sit there and say, this is what His Word says. Get out of here, you devil. Get behind me, you mangy mutt. And then we look at this. You're not alone. You're not alone. The confession of our mouths will eventually bring forth the things that we speak. The confessions of your mouth, the things you say, will bring forth what you're saying. There is power of life and death in the tongue. When I began to understand that by that of the faith message, it brings a lot of difference. And I wasn't raised denominationally. I wasn't raised in church and things of that nature, so I didn't have a lot of that in me. But just by reading some of those simple things and understanding the power of the tongue and what I say and what I confess, it either makes it or breaks it for me. Because God's word has been done. God's things that He has accomplished, they've been done. He's not going to do it anymore other than when Jesus returns, okay? That's all going to be happy and things are going to happen and, happy, but, it's going to be a glorious time anyway. But we're not getting into those end times. I'm just saying all that God has done, He's done. He's there now saying, are you, Sally, Billy, Jimmy, Timmy, are you going to use what I have done? Put forth already. The confessions of our mouths will eventually bring forth the things we speak. May not be on Monday. You might have to confess it Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. You might keep confessing it. Amen. It's not reminding God what it is. Sometimes you just got to tell the devil that I'm still standing on this word, on this confession, and I'm confessing this. Well, you don't have money to pay for that. But I'm confessing that I've got the abundance, or I've got this that's going to happen, or I've got, but you're still got the headache, but I'm still confessing I've got health and healing in my body. Well, you still got this in your body. It's still there, but it's not going to stay there because I'm going to stand on His Word, and His Word says that I'm healed. Hallelujah. And the one thing that the devil loses, even though if I'm not healed in this life, I'm healed when I go to glory. Amen. So, we're about wrapping this up here. The devil will do all he can to keep you from, or to keep you going in circles in a relationship of going forward with God. The devil wants you just going like this. God wants us to go this way. Children of Israel spent way more time than they needed to going through the desert. It was a very short trip. You know, could you imagine the GPS that they were carrying? Hey, have we been by this rock before? Yeah. No, I think it's a different one. I don't know. Remember one time I said GPS. I said, okay, God, what's GPS? The world says global positioning satellite. GPS. God's perfect solution. And just little things that me and him get together and I just say, hey, what about this, God? Okay, you've got to know that the devil's ways, and you've got to counter those snares and those things that he's going to trip you up in. You got to know your enemy, amen. I'm not in denial to say that there's no enemy out there, amen. Whew. I know that he's there to snare me and to sneak up on me. He sneaks around like that of a roaring lion, seeking who he may destroy and kill. God's word tells me that. I'm prepared. I got his promises. I got his protection. I got his warnings. What more do I need? What more do you need? You got to get out and you got to start acting upon it. You've got to start confessing it. You've got to start believing it. You've got to start trusting God. Amen. You've got to start sometime. Why not start in 2014? Just 5 days into it. We've got a special going on right now, ladies and gentlemen. 360 days left. And you too can come out at the other end glorified and just victorious. Wouldn't that be wonderful? It will be. It is going to be wonderful. Because I believe you'll do it. I believe we'll keep speaking these things and keep encouraging. Hallelujah. So time is ticking off. We've wrapped up on our 52 Sundays to meet. I've only got 51 more to go. I'll see you Wednesday. Amen. Hallelujah. God is good. I love him. I love him. Oh, Father, we love you, Father.